Now that it took me 3 seconds to find the button to hit, it's time for History Matters. Taking a look back at this week in history with the one and only Scott Washington, who joins us here live in the studio. How are you?
I kind of like the delay. I thought that, you know, built
a little bit of anticipation there.
What's going to happen?
I don't know what just happened to me. I like pick up the mouse to click the button, and I just it wasn't there, and there it was. And yes, history masterpiece. There it is.
It just shows you History Matters anyway. When we don't hear that theme, it's like, what's going to happen next?
We don't know what's going to happen next, but we do know what happened in the past.
Yes, that's
what it's all about
today. An anthropologist was actually visiting a tribe, and the way they talked about language was fascinating. They envisioned the past in front of them because they said, we know what that is. The future behind us because we don't know what that is.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
So like visualizing the...
That's right. Yeah. A whole different way of looking at history.
Good.
And that's what we try to have here, is a new perspective. And even when the music suddenly is like, where is the music? Well, we'll make music. You know, this is a really interesting week because of... some interesting things that, well, I say this every week, don't I say?
Yeah.
Oh, every week I think, we've covered everything, and then there's just such interesting things, especially this week with some big events related to the Civil War going forward. January 31st, that's today, you have the 13th Amendment passed by Congress in 1865.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Civil War is still going on. It hasn't stopped, but suddenly this is something that's monumental in terms of what the Union was fighting for in this war against the Union, which is so important.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of this week. And then, of course, February 1st, we have 1960 is when the Greensboro sit-in takes place.
Yes.
Where the students sat down at the Woolworth counter and where there was segregated seating, and they said no. And that began a whole series of protests.
Yep.
There were huge
including
movement.
One in Chapel Hill 4 weeks
That's
later.
Right. Yep. That's right. And also February 1st is National Freedom Day, and that's a kind of interesting...
In honor of the Greensboro sit-in, right?
No.
No?
This
okay.
This was a fascinating thing. Oh, my gosh. I was, like, really interested. It was a former slave, Major Richard Robert Wright, born in 1855, lived to 1947.
Okay, so this goes further back than that.
Yes. Okay. Oh, my gosh, yes. And after the Civil War, a Union general is visiting him as he's going to school and says, do you have anything for me to bring back up north? And he said, yes, tell them we are rising. And he becomes an incredible leader. Now, he's overshadowed by Rosa Parks, but you know, in 1947, he writes a letter to President Truman asking about the lynching of a young man. And as a result of that letter, President Truman, and by this time, he had been an established leader within the African-American community, had been a president of what becomes Savannah State University later on. And so when he writes this letter, it has some real gravitas. President Truman takes this up, asks his attorney general to look into this. It establishes the whole Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department.
Oh,
I mean,
cool.
You know, I did not know this.
And
One year after, and he had advocated for a National Freedom Day on February 1st, but really for all Americans. Both houses of Congress passed this a year after his death in 1947, or within that year. And the following year, June, I think, 20th, 1948, Truman signs his legislation, and this becomes National Freedom Day. That becomes the forerunner of Black History Month, which is, you know, all this stuff I did not know, which is part of the fascinating thing of, like, who is this person and how, what is this? I've never heard of this before. But isn't it fascinating that that comes about? And then we have 1960, we have these students taking that courageous stance that they did in Greensboro, that becomes now a place that anyone can visit and learn about this impressive, important history.
1948 is a really fascinating and important year in American history and in the history of the civil rights movement as well, and in the way that just the civil rights movement developed in politics. I was reading I was reading this fascinating book a few months ago, and I think I might have brought it up at some point, not over the course of the last few months, about how the two parties ended up kind of flipping in terms of which party was kind of taking the lead on civil rights and which party was kind of the anti-civil rights party, because there was
really
a time, right,
this when, is so fascinating.
When the Republican
oh
Party was the pro-civil
That's
rights
right.
party, the Democratic Party was very much anti,
right.
And by the end of the 60s, that had gone the other way. What happened?
Right.
Well, it's close to a 50-year process for that to happen,
wow.
And it's just a lot of steps along the way, but one of the big ones was in 1948, as the Democratic Party, for mm-hmm. a variety of different reasons, was starting to move in that direction, Southern Democrats, the Dixiecrats, get so upset with the fact that the National Democratic Party is starting to do the right thing on civil rights that they end up bolting the party and nominating Strom Thurmond for president as a third-party candidate in 1948. And rather than try to go to the right and push back against civil rights to try to win those voters yeah. back, the Democrats and Truman running for president decide to go the other way and say, well,
wow.
if they're not going to vote for us, fine, we'll go in the opposite direction and endorse civil rights that much more and see
oh,
what that
wow.
does politically. Truman wins
oh,
an upset victory in 1948, and that was one of the...
Yeah.
That was one of the signals to the Democratic Party that this is the road that the party ought to be going down. And then it's another 20 years before the party actually
yeah.
finally fully does start to go down that road. But that was one of the big steps along the way.
Oh, yeah, that is fascinating.
So
I mean,
Truman signing
goodness.
That declaration
yeah.
is a part of that process,
wow.
I think,
and, you know,
as
when
well.
You said 19, another 20 years, I'm thinking, okay, 1960s, and as a result, of course, of not only what happens in Greensboro, the sit-in, stand
mm-hmm.
up by sitting down, Rosa Parks and these students, but these sit-ins begin to develop elsewhere
right,
as well.
Right.
And then we have, of course, the Civil Rights Acts that come in the mid-1960s.
Yeah, because even through
Tell
the 50s and into the 60s,
yes.
the Democrats had advanced from where they were, but
right.
they were really still less bad on civil rights than they were before.
Yes.
And it took that agitation in the 60s
yes.
from the civil rights movement, from the Greensboro sit-ins and everything else
well,
to actually
move the dial. Well, you think of 1954, of
course,
Brown
dial,
versus
yes.
Board of Education, where we see this constant movement. And that's the exciting thing that, you know, I think we've talked about before, is seeing that history is not morally neutral,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps moving forward. And that's a great thing. And civil rights is so important, not just to one small group. It's all of us, because all of us are a part of a minority at some point or other.
Yeah.
I don't care. You have blonde hair, black hair, it doesn't matter. At some point, somebody's going to say, yeah, well, you're not in the group that we're right here. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. And that's, I think, a defining characteristic of what we think of as the best of American values, is this movement forward to embrace people, to embrace civil rights. And I think this is why this is an exciting week. And you kind of go, oh, well, what's happening this week? And you go, oh, my gosh, what
isn't
happening
this
week?
All significant things, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the 15th Amendment is ratified this week as
yes.
well on January or February 3rd, which is this Sunday.
Oh,
so
giving, yeah, making, ensuring that
guaranteeing
that right,
the
to
right
vote.
To vote.
But it takes about...
Again, and history goes
oh,
forwards
my, exactly.
and backwards, right?
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right. So we have that movement, and then... We have, it takes almost 100 years before that is really solidified, and it's still under attack.
And we're still fighting
which is
on
amazing.
That today. Yeah,
yeah exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, it's not just a static process of, oh, this happened. Like, how many history classes kids have gone through, and they're like, oh, I'm so bored with these dates, instead of saying, you know, these are real people that got passionate about important things
mm-hmm.
and said that it's important to.
Yeah. Well, I mean the civil rights movement today says it's
yeah.
not a moment, it's the movement, and that's what
that's
the history
right.
class should be.
That's
like,
right.
don't memorize the dates, don't memorize
that's
the
right.
moments, memorize the movement, and why is it
oh.
important that these four people in Greensboro sat
that's
there at
wonderful.
This lunch counter in a
Woolworths.
You know,
I learned
yeah.
so much coming here every week, and I hope everybody else, like, people are writing down, oh, I love that. I know somebody who takes notes and go, this is great. Somebody's going to write and tell me that. Oh, memorize the movement, not necessarily the moments. Though I think part.
Well,
of
I don't think I can take credit for that line. I think
well,
several million people have said that before me, but yeah.
Well, that's a good thing, and that right to vote, the 15th Amendment. All this happens this week, so I think that's kind of an important element. And you know, the great thing is as much as we have these historical moments where there are dysfunctional and terrible things that happen, disruptive events. And certainly this week we have some really interesting events in space history that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are terrible, but we try to learn from them. The Challenger disaster happened January 28, 1986, and that's when the space shuttle with Christa McAuliffe explodes seconds after launching.
And one North Carolinian, right?
That's
Michael
right.
Smith was from Beaufort.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And again, you know, trying to learn from that and say, what happened? That's what science is, and that's what these people dedicated their lives is. The story isn't finished. It's learn from this, make it better so it doesn't happen again
yep.
next time. And that happens again with, where is it? The Challenger fire in, well, no, that was the Challenger.
The Columbia.
Columbia, that's right.
February 1st, yeah.
Yes, February 1st. And that's another one that this is where they were launched, but then some space tiles come off of mm-hmm. the aircraft, and then on reentry, the aircraft disintegrates. So people lost their lives, and again, this sense of like, well, the mission isn't over. We have to keep learning, have to keep exploring these new boundaries. I think of those two movies that have been out there, The Martian and Gravity,
mm-hmm.
which are both dealing with survival. And I thought, yeah, you know, no matter what, no matter how bleak the times are, that's what it's about. It's saying, well, when things go wrong, let's see what we can do to fix them or make them better.
Yep.
And thankfully, history records time after time people rising up, just like this fellow on who started the National Freedom Day, who say something different and say, we have got to do something different than what we've done before.
There you go.
And it makes a difference.
Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters, we got to talk about the fist fight on the floor of the House of Representatives in 1798.
Thank you.
Because this is my
yes.
this is my pet project is to remind everyone, as polarized as we
yes.
are as Americans today, the more I read history, the more. And again, it's an optimism and a pessimism all at the same
yes.
time. But the more I am convinced that where we are today is where we always have been
yes.
in terms of polarization and all of these conflicts that arise and all of the mistrust and misgivings that we have towards each other, it's been like this for some time.
Now, this one with in 1798,
the founding fathers, we revere these people. Everyone
on the U.S. House of Representatives during an argument, you have Matthew Lyon of Vermont spitting in the face of Roger Griswold of Connecticut, and then 2 weeks later they attack each other, and one's hitting each other with a cane and a fire. Retreated to a fire pit.
No,
with
no,
fire
let's, tongs. Let's read the line. Lyon retreated to a fire pit and defended himself with the fire tongs until other congressmen broke up the fight. This was on the floor of the House of Representatives, which apparently had a fireplace once upon a time. I didn't know that either.
I did not know that either.
I guess in January in 1798, you
That's
probably
right.
do need to have a fireplace. Lest the polar vortex come down and make it real cold.
You know, and it's just to show that, yes, Americans are contentious, cantankerous, and that's not necessarily always a bad thing, because they can advocate and be strong about fighting for good causes, but also can lead to these kind of altercations.
Yeah, and also just changes in the way that we interact with each other as well, because
yeah.
this is 1798. I've seen Hamilton. I guarantee you that when all of this was over, Lyon and Griswold were criticized very heavily by
right.
their colleagues for not doing it the right way and having
yes.
just a duel
a
with
duel.
Pistols at dawn,
that's right?
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah.
that's apparently the way that gentlemen did it back in the day.
Yeah, it's amazing that Burr and Hamilton have that duel, and one dies, and everybody goes, well, I guess that's just politics. No, it's not. But
yeah.
It's just to
history
say,
moves forward and backward, but largely
yes.
forward.
You know, and I think that's you're making a really profound point, that it is this ebb and flow, that it's like two steps forward, it's like a dance, and it's one step back, and
yeah.
That you try to learn from it, but an actual physical brawl. You know, sometimes you think, wouldn't it be great if we get everybody into the House of Representatives, not just for a State of the Union address, but other times?
Yeah.
And say, okay, you can have to abandon your notes that someone else has written, and you have to talk extemporaneously, just like in Parliament when they get together and the Mr. Speaker.
Rubble. Right. I don't know if we want to go down that road either.
Maybe not.
I also appreciate, so if you're listening out there, you can't see the visual aid, but we've got a long list of all of these,
yes,
all of these things. So this one is described as the first brawl on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives, thus suggesting a second and a third and more to come.
Well,
there's the famous one in the 1850s with Charles Sumner and Preston,
yes,
Brooks.
Right.
But there were others, like,
yes,
others that we don't know about.
Well, this is where they were actually having these kind of discussions and people's passions would run high, like we heard this week when I think it was a Congress from where was it, Utah, that was, or somewhere, was talking about Senator Cruz, and when it came up about the shutdown,
mm-hmm,
and Cruz is defending the president, and he jumps in. This is a mild-mannered person.
Oh, that guy, yeah, from Colorado.
From Colorado.
From Colorado.
Who
Democrat
says, wait a minute,
he
said, that shutdown affected my people, and he goes on and on. I thought, oh, there you go. That's what it used to be back in the day.
Yeah. They had to remove the fire tongs from the House floor so as to prevent a rehash of 1798.
That's right.
Speaking with Scott Washington, we've got time for like one more. What do we got?
Well, Mary Shelley died February 1st, who is the in 1851, who of course created Frankenstein during a rainy, cold, volcanic summer, and when she was given a challenge to do that. And it's just kind of a note to say that something good came out of something bad.
There you go.
They created something good. So that's maybe the highlight of the theme of this show.
Again, history moves forward, which we got to wrap up
yes,
since we've been talking about history moving forward this whole time by reminding everyone that today is National Backward Day.
I wish I could say thank you in backwards, but other people can't.
The FCC is listening.
Yeah, matters history, that
there
would
you
be
go.
Something like that. Yeah.
History matters, as always. Scott Washington, thank you so
thank
much.
You, sure.